Hello, everybody, and welcome to Humble and Hungry. I'm your friend, Natalie Pouchet. Welcome back. Bonjour. We are recapping our insanely incredible trip to Paris. I think will end up being a two-parter because we have a lot to recap. I have, obviously, Riley with me the next two episodes because he's probably going to be fact-checking me throughout this entire episode and the following. So, yeah. What else can I say? I love you guys all so much. Thank you for coming on this ride with me. If you guys have followed me on Instagram, you guys saw a lot of clips and photos and videos. I saved it all in my highlights under Paris. Paris 2. Is that how you say it? I don't know. So yeah, if you guys want to sort of follow along the story, just go to my Instagram and you guys can see photos. And also make sure to sign up for the newsletter, and I will be putting together a sort of Parisian favorites of our trips, of our favorite places to go, to dine, to dance, all of it. It'll all be there. So just go to nataliepouchet.com or go to my Instagram and you will find everything there in my bio. But let's get to the show. Oh, bonjour. Bonjour, bébé.
Oh, bonsoir.
Bonsoir. I feel like I only knew or learned about four words while we were there. Merci. Merci beaucoup. How do you say the Czech?
L'édition, s'il vous plaît.
L'édition, s'il vous plaît. I'm really not good at French. That is not my language, but it is so beautiful to listen to. We are, what, 3 days post trip? Is it even 3 days? 2 days? No, I think it's just 2 days.
I think it's...
we landed on Wednesday and today's Friday.
Yep, so this is going on our third day.
Yeah. And how exhausted are you?
I'm doing fine. I was up at 4 a.m. I was, you know, just getting things done, you know?
The night we got home, which we're gonna sort of get into it all and talk about from the beginning to the end. And I'm sure we're going to miss a few things here and there, but we got home on Wednesday and should we just start from the beginning?
I think we should just jump to the beginning.
I'm just saying that we've had the last 2 days, we've been exhausted because we've just basically been like in mom and dad mode. And it's been nonstop. So, all right, let's just get to it. I'm very excited about this. Are you?
Very.
Yeah. Sorry. I was in a mood before I started this episode and Riley was like, "What is wrong with you?"
I thought it was going to be a very fun episode for everyone.
He's being sarcastic. I think I'm probably going to start my period soon. I have been very irritated this entire morning. Everything is bothering me. There's a lot of clutter. The house is messy. And I don't do well with clutter and mess and thinking about this move that's happening soon. So I'm just sort of in a mood. But I'm sure once we recap the show, it's all going to be fine. Right?
It absolutely will be.
Okay. All right. So let's take it from the top. We ended up flying first class to Paris. How, you ask, without spending $7,000 on our flights? Well, what the trick is, we flew with Air France, which is a Delta associate, right? Feel free to chime in whenever you want, my love. And the 24 hours before you check into your flight, they will ask you if you want to upgrade. If there's available seats in first class, we were in premium economy, which is a little, let's put it this way. Economy was what, $500?
Yeah, it was like $500-$600.
Yeah. And those have way more rows or way more seats in each row, right? And then there's premium economy, which is
like $1,600.
About, no, it was like 12, right? Oh, 16?
When you booked. I think it was
12.
Because you booked after mine.
Again, these numbers are going to vary depending on when you're going or where you're going. But for us, I'm just trying to give you a ballpark. Okay. So I think it was about $1,200. And premium economy basically gets you more leg room, which I'm not really sure you get as much leg room, to be honest with you.
I think it's just the wider seats.
It's a wider seat. It's a nicer seat.
Yeah.
And I think you just get like one more amenity than you would in economy. But you can, but the seats do have, I feel it, you can see the difference. They give you a blanket. They give you, I think, a meal. Well, I think they give everybody a meal, but they give you, I think, like a little extra love there in premium economy. And so then, first class, if you bought it outright, it was about
$6,600,
which is very, very expensive. So we decided to do premium economy, and we, 24 hours before we were about to check in, they were like, if you want to upgrade for $500, you can upgrade to first class. So,
cha-ching.
You bet your ass I freaking did that. And so did you. So we were able to upgrade $500 and got first class on the way there, which was pretty cool. Very fun. Wouldn't you agree?
I loved it.
You were living your best life.
I was tasting a lot of cool spirits and having food by a Michelin star chef. It wasn't Michelin quality food, but it was still...
Who was the chef?
That one, he was from the... It was interesting. The one on the way out, he was a American chef, mm-hmm. and then that now is in France. And then on the way back was a different chef.
Oh, interesting. And had a, oh, interesting. Because I wouldn't know. I was eating baby food on the
We will talk about that when we get there, babe. We're reminiscing on the flight out there,
and we're not even. We're only on the flight and we're already 7 minutes in. This is not good. Okay. So the flight out was awesome. Yes. Drinks were flowing. Food was good. Movies were on. We were sleeping just completely horizontal. I mean, it was
quite dreamy.
It was very dreamy. You were very excited. And then I got a lot of questions because I did a whole skincare routine. I didn't do a whole skincare routine on the flight, let's be honest, but I definitely had a few things that I liked. Ladies, drink a lot of water, or gentlemen too, whatever. But you got to drink a lot of water. You got to make sure you're peeing on that flight. That's how you don't swell. Also, I have these eye drops. Just go to my Instagram on the highlights. I posted it. They're caffeine eye drops. Not eye drops that drop in your eyes. They're like it's like an under eye serum. And it's like caffeine for under your eyes. And it's supposed to wake you up. And honestly, not too shabby.
You didn't share that with me.
I didn't. You didn't need it. You were great. You looked so awake. But just go to my Instagram. I posted it and put that under your eyes. You guys will be ready to go. Mind you, we are flying with my cousin, Sergio. We call him Julian. Let's just call him Julian. So Julian is my cousin. Our moms married twin brothers, which are our dads. So our dads are twin brothers and they married sisters. And so we went on the trip and he brought his girlfriend, Zianja. We call her Z. And I have to say, it was a great pairing. If we're going to be talking food and wine, it was such a good like chemistry. And sometimes it's not, it can totally flop, you know? Would you agree?
Oh, I would of course agree. We talked about that on our first trip to Paris. Was that will be the make or break, because if we can't travel together, this is not going to work. But we talked about it afterwards because we were like, oh, we worked out so well and it was so much fun. But if it didn't, whew, could you imagine? So same with traveling with another couple. You have to make sure that chemistry is there and you really don't know until you travel. So we have travel buddies now.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Julian Z, if you're listening, don't break up because we want to go travel with you guys. And they were sitting, I think, in premium economy. So we get off and at this point, I know I left you guys hanging last time because we sort of didn't know what our schedule was going to be. And we figured out that we were not going to go to the south of France that morning. Right. I think we landed and we were like, okay, it's not going to work. Right. So we decide that we have our REMs. Our first 2 days are completely
scheduled. I don't even think we knew that. I think it was the next day we found out.
Was it?
Yeah.
So we had originally gotten a train from the Paris airport. Well, not from the Paris airport. I lied. It was like 45 minutes from the Paris airport, which I think is the closest train, right?
Yeah. So we had to take a train from the airport into Paris to then take the bullet train to Reims.
And there was no way in hell we were making it. So we landed and we were like, oh, we have 45 minutes. No, an hour. We had an hour.
Yep.
Hour and a half, technically.
It was
like,
it was a good amount of time.
When we had planned it, we had an hour and a half to get to the train. So we thought, that's perfect. We'll get through customs or whatever and we'll make it there. But when we were looking at the GPS, it was like 2 a.m. Paris time. So it was like only like 25 minute drive to the bullet train. Remember that? And then when we landed, it was like 9 a.m. and it was a 45 minute drive. So that's what really screwed us. And also customs. That line, let me tell you guys, if you are planning a trip, just make sure that you guys are giving yourself ample time to get out of that airport and also on your way back, which we're going to get to. Riley and I had Sky Priority because we were in first class, thankfully. So we were, and my cousin and Z basically had to stand in the very, very long line. So we were like, let us just get out of here, try to figure out if we can make it to the train.
Figure out where the train is, figure out all that stuff.
Exactly.
And while we were doing that, I realized there's absolutely no way we're going to make it. So we're down there, we're looking around, we're like, I'm just going to rent a car. So I go on to Expedia, rent a car, we walk over.
Which is, by the way, if you guys are renting a car, it's right across the street. Like,
it's
literally
very convenient.
It is.
It kept on kicking me out. So then when I did it for the third time, I didn't change the dates because it kicked me out twice already and the dates didn't change. But then the third time they changed to a month from now.
Oh my
gosh. So then that's when we went into the Expedia place. I was like, yeah, got a car rented. And they're like, no, you don't. And we don't have any available. And they said, go back to the brown building. Go see if anybody has a car. We beeline there. Julian and Z are still not out of the airport yet through customs. So we go over there, get the car. There's only one available.
Yeah.
So we get this thing that we have to literally like jump on the trunk to get all the bags to fit.
I'm just telling you, thank God I didn't bring the bigger
luggage.
Luggage. They wouldn't have fit.
No.
Like, it actually would not. It would have to have sat on my lap.
Yeah.
Even and Z's lap in the
exactly.
back. It was such a tiny little car.
So we got in.
Yes.
And we just zipped right out of there. Mm-hmm. And
Riley had been dying to drive in Paris. He's like, can we rent a car? And we're like, it's kind of a hassle. Let's just take the train. Then we can, you know, open a bottle of wine and we can, you know, drink and eat and don't have to worry about it. And Riley's like, fine. And then he's like, oh, we're going to miss the train. Gotta rent a car. So he was very happy. And we book it to Reims. We call it Reims, but it's not Reims. It's
Reims.
Okay. Not as sexy as Reims. And by the way, it is a beautiful drive. Although you did say it looked like Oregon.
Oh, it's very much like Willamette Valley.
Yeah.
Very much. I mean, it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning, right? But it's very Willamette Valley.
The drive is, yeah.
So if you haven't been to Willamette Valley and you can't make it to France, to the Champagne region, then just go to Willamette Valley.
Yeah.
You know?
Although once you get into the city, then it's like historic and beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
So our first day was jam-packed. So we are in our travel clothes still. Some people are going to be like, this is disgusting. But guess what?
You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice. And there's no way in hell we were opening up that little trunk to open up all of our luggage and
change. Let it all fall out to then in the parking lot of Ruinart.
Exactly. So we book it to Ruinart. We're already like an hour late and we're in our sweats, but we have blazers on and coats. So it looks somewhat decent. And we get the most epic tour of Ruinart. And I mean, the history behind it, right? The bottles and just how
the conclaves that are down below, like one is there and they're chiseled out by hand because they're so old, right? They were there before any of the wars. So they actually chiseled them out by hand, and they use these enclaves that are all clay soil, but they used them for during the wars for schools, for and we're talking World War One, World War Two, but schools or hospitals or anything of that nature. So that's where all the kids and the women were, while the men were up fighting. And it was just fascinating because they all connect, and there's just the catacombs.
That to me was the most interesting. So remember, so Champagne, in the Champagne region, you can only, if you are drinking a Champagne, it has to come from the Champagne region. So Proseccos and sparkling wines and other Champenois are not Champagne because they are not made there. So there are only, 12 main Champagne houses in Champagne that have these connecting. Was it 12?
That have the connecting, yes.
Okay, so this was insane. And you just learned that too, right?
Right.
So as we were down there, she goes, all these 12 houses connect by one wall. Like each one has a wall that connects to these sort of underground caves. And it is so impactful and so insane. And they are all so different, right? Ruinart had this, what was the...
So one was, the deepest one was 68 meters, I believe. So it was very deep. And then
this is one that has the art.
It had the art piece.
It was like an installation.
Yes. It was an art installation done by
a husband and wife.
Artist, which is the wife. And the husband is an AI genius. So he's
a doctor.
He took AI and put it inside. So it's the art is this magnificent light show and music and thunder and noises that are just echoing, and it's absolutely stunning, but it's never the same. And it's done off of weather patterns over the last 40 years. So it takes the outside weather and changes the light show to the weather. I mean,
it was mind blowing. It was insane. I highly recommend you guys going to Ruinart. It was fantastic.
I need to talk about one thing at Ruinart.
Yes, tell me.
There was this really, really eye-catching piece of art when you first sit down that is very historic. It's, you know, during the Louis the 15th kind of era, and all the men are at Versailles and they're eating oysters and drinking champagne and with their white
wigs
and their long tail coats and their high socks, right? And I'm sitting there this whole time, I'm like, wow, taking this old piece of art that's a famous painting and making it modern. How they did, this artist did in this photo, was breathtaking to me. So we sat down before the tours, and was just like, no, not into it.
No, that's not true. I was like, yeah, it's really cool. And then he goes like, but look how modern it is. So I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? And I go, I mean, okay, yeah, I guess. Like, I don't know how it's modern.
And I was like, I want this in my house.
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
He just fucking wouldn't let it go. And I was like, oh my God, what are you talking? And finally, like almost like right before we were about to leave,
after the two glasses of champagne,
my cousin was like, do you not see the guy in the photo? And I was like, I mean, I think I see a head, but I don't understand what you're talking about. And then he's like, look. And I was like, oh my God, this guy, which makes sense. It's like light bulbs going off, AI light bulbs, because they had the same artist around Ruinart, and he would paint himself in the vineyards. He'd paint himself to camouflage where they blend the wines. And that's his art. He paints himself. And then he has an assistant to paint his face.
And it's flawless.
And it is, I mean, you really cannot see the guy. And so that was part of the art. He painted himself into this art, and I fucking could not see him for the life of me until the end. And I was like, oh, my, I'm going to post it. And I want you guys to tell me if you see him right away or not. So that was actually hilarious. And I really felt like an idiot. Okay. Moving right along. Anything else from Ruin Art? But they have to go, right?
I mean, yeah, that one's... It's a must. It's absolutely a must. The champagnes are amazing. The experience is amazing. It's a must.
Yes. We had some rosés. We had... did he give us a few... Did she give us a few vintages? Yeah,
so we both... it was... we tried the Blanc de Blanc and the non-vintage rosé side by side with... Because you get to choose the rosé package or the Blanc de Blanc package.
You're going with somebody. Someone get the rosé. Someone get the Blanc de Blanc.
One on one. And then they do the vintage Blanc de Blanc and then the vintage rosé. And the so it was an 07 rosé from Dom Ruin. It's the Dom Ruin Art label. And then it was the 09 Dom Ruin Art Blanc de Blanc.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's resonating with any of you, but if you are a champagne junkie, then that's, you know, your stuff. Okay. So, mind you, we are still in our sweats. We are still going.
And we're still running behind.
And we're still running behind. And then, we actually were on time.
We were 3 minutes late and I got a text message. Are you guys going to make it?
Oh, to Piper?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So we go straight to Piper after that because basically the reason why we are in Champagne is for Riley to blend, you know, his third Champagne. So... we had 2 days at Piper. The first day was just going to be a tasting and sort of just like walk us through just the whole champagne house and whatnot. And I was able to take my cousin and Z with us that day. And then the next day we were going to blend. Okay, so we get to Piper and we are now hitting a massive wall.
The first thing we do is go inside. Meet everybody, yep. Do the meet and greet. And then...
because now we're meeting like, you know, global marketing people and we're meeting, you know, the heads of Piper Heidsieck. And here we are in our sweats still. We're exhausted. We're just running on fumes and whatever airplane food they've given us. We really haven't eaten besides whatever they gave us on the plane. We already were having, you know, champagne at Ruin Art. Head to Piper. And yeah, so we're meeting everybody and then
we get on a van to go do some vineyard tours.
Yes.
So we have another 20 or 30 minute drive ahead of us.
Yep. And it's not like it's just us four. Now it's like we have people from Piper, you know, in the van. So we have to like keep up conversation.
Socialize.
And we're talking and we're all like, let us sleep.
One eye is closed. Everybody, sleep. You know.
But and it also you want to take it all in, you know? So it's like I don't want to close my eyes, but I also want to like look at the little town and it's so beautiful. So we go to the vineyards and they were just basically talking to us about, you know, the
So we're out in the vineyards and we're looking at the vines. They're just entering bud break, so that's like, you know, they trim and prune all the vines back in the fall after harvest. And then now they are just starting to come alive. So it's just the bud break and it's very small. Whereas like if you're in Napa, they're, you know, already probably 6 inches tall of new growth, their spring growth. Out there, it's colder climate. So they're just starting. So we're walking through the vineyard, looking at the soil and the limestone and the chalk. And then we are talking about how they're farming and how they're replanting because some of the vines were older at this point. So they ripped out some of the vines because they're in the 40-50 year mark. So then now, and they wanted to do a different varietal. So there's three primary varietals. So there's Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Meunier. So then they're transitioning that as well. And then how they're also growing is everything is organic and natural farmed. So, you know, they wanted to make sure that those older vines were also staying with that ethos. You know, they're planting the rosebuds at the end of the vines, which roses are not as strong as vines. So, because vines can, you know, go down like 40 meters or something underneath the soil. So they're super strong plants, but the weaker plants attract the fungus or the...
Which I thought was actually really interesting.
Yeah. And then they die. So they attack the roses.
And then the farmers know, and then okay, the farmers know they have to... here. So, yeah.
And then they have the one, and I've seen it multiple times, but for different type of insects, but they do the... it, when they find out, okay, it's this insect, right? And the, how do you do that in an organic way without spraying and a biodynamic way, then you use a basically a hormone in a box that attracts the males thinking it's a female, and then they go in the opposite direction of where they're supposed to be going because they're now out of the vineyard.
You're talking about the butterflies, right?
That's butterflies, but it could be any type of, but it's, right. But then they go towards this hormone to then, and then nothing happens and it then prevents them from having more
of that insect. Right. Which, and so what she was saying is that she had a lot of butterflies there. So she, they basically put like this butterfly, it's not a trap, but it's to the release the hormone. That way they feel like, oh, it's already over, like not overpopulated, but like they've already made it. So then they don't even go around that area, which is very interesting. So we, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, so then, so after seeing the vineyard site,
he's on a roll, guys. I'm just going to let him talk. Yeah.
This is my thing.
This is the, exactly.
So then after the vineyards, we go into the pressing room, where the pressing room is old and a very old school because it's natural drainage down below. So first floor is this big, massive press that's hydraulic. And then it presses, then it goes...
It presses all the grapes.
All the grapes. Mm-hmm. So they load the press with the grapes. It presses it down with hydraulics. The juice goes down around the rim of the press and then goes through the drains, which then goes downstairs, which is gravity fed. But they, in Champagne, and one reason why it's still today very expensive, is all their laws. Mm-hmm. So they can only in press, like it was like 4,000 pounds can go, so 4 tons can go into one press, and anything beyond that can't go in.
Right. They have to get rid of it.
They just drop that fruit. They don't use it for anything. They can't use it for anything. So it doesn't matter if it's
overproduced. No one is allowed to overproduce. You can only get a certain amount. And if you make too many grapes, then you got to give it to the bunnies, they said. Yep. Like, you just got to get rid of it.
By law.
Yeah.
So.
And I thought it was interesting that you can't water your own plants. You're not allowed to water anything.
Oh, right. So everything is dry farmed, which no irrigation is allowed in Champagne. So that's why the root system, and luckily that it's the type of soil, but their root system goes down 40 meters because
of that
it
soil.
Is just trying to get all the water that's available. So,
which is right. Because if you ended up doing that, then you probably ruin the entire region or the land itself, right?
So there's plenty of thoughts with that, right? But it's just fascinating that they've set so many laws into place that prevent how they farm, mm-hmm. how they overfarm,
and
underfarm, whatever.
What was it last year?
It was 2020, I think.
I thought it was 2021, no?
I think the bad harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 2020.
God, everything happened 2020. Yeah. I thought it was 2021. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure it's...
You probably know better than me. But they're saying that Champagne is going to cost more. You will see a rise in prices in Champagne soon because of that year. That there's not enough.
There was like very, very... there was some vineyard sites that literally didn't produce any. Single... usable grape.
I mean, how depressing is that?
Yeah, which then, and that was with, and it's really where their slopes and stuff are, because the valley, you know, there was a lot of rain, No, it was last the year in 2020 was the frost. So last year, which then if you saw on Instagram and everything in 2020, how they had the candles and everything, the little fires in between the rows, trying to prevent the frost. So it looked like all the vineyards were on fire, which was beautiful.
I did not see that.
I
gotta Google that.
Yeah, you have to Google. It's beautiful. But
and then in 2021.
2021 was rain.
Yes.
So the rain, and there was enough wind to keep the grapes from rotting.
Mm-hmm.
So then on some of the sites, we went to another champagne house. We'll talk about it in a second. But they have very steep hillsides and a river in the middle that it allows for a little bit more wind. And then the steep slopes allow for a lot of drainage. So anything that was not on a steep slope pretty much was destroyed.
In his new Audible original memoir, It Takes a Woman, Hollywood producer and best-selling author Devon Franklin introduces listeners to an extraordinary group of women, his mother and her aunts, who stepped in to raise him and his brother after his father's shocking, untimely death. We get to hear from the women themselves about how they heeded the call and selflessly gave of themselves so Franklin can grow into the man he is today. The story comes to life in candid conversations that cover everything from marriage, death, divorce, and regret to colorfully frank advice about dating, sex, and money. It Takes a Woman offers listeners an emotional journey of tragedy, triumph, and healing, and it celebrates women everywhere who enrich every life they touch. No matter what you may be going through, Devon invites you to embrace his village as your own and learn the valuable lessons the women in his life shared with him. Listen on Audible at www.audible.com/It Takes a Woman. Every day we hear about how our morning rituals can change our day, but have you ever actually thought about your evening rituals? Allowing ourselves traditional time to wind down both our devices and our minds in the evening allows us to stop our racing thoughts and drift off to sleep naturally. So power your day by powering off at night. We're partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Reduce stress and anxiety through guided meditations and improve focus with your curated music tracks, and rest and recharge with Calm's imaginative sleep stories for children and adults. There's even new daily movement sessions designed to relax your body and uplift your mind. If you go to calm.com/humble, you'll get a special offer off of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, and new content is added every week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds. Calm is ready to help you stress less, sleep more, and live a happier, healthy life. I know for me, I get very stressed out sometimes with just running the house and Piper, that I just at night, I feel like my mind is, I cannot unwind it. And so I turn on my Calm app and I just relax. I'm able to just literally do that and I can calm down. You guys, you need to try this if you're constantly on the go. I promise you, you're gonna love it. So for listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/humble. So go to calm.com/humble for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/humble. From cringing at the pump to getting an eye-opening check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts. And it really hurts. That's why I started using GetUpside. So GetUpside is an incredible app for everyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out with every purchase. Because I'm earning cash, and that's all thanks to GetUpside. It isn't like too good to be true. Because I know sometimes it's like, what? There's no way. But I've used it and honestly, it works and it's a no-brainer. The app is easy to use and honestly, why everyone isn't using this, I really don't know why. I know for me at the gas station, it's just easy. Like right now, the amount of money I'm spending, like I gotta just like save a few bucks. So with Upside, it's just easy. You just basically open the app and it's working for you. It's incredible. And it's not too good to be true. I'm telling you, just download it and you're not even gonna know what to do with all that money that you get back. So to get started, download the free Get Upside app in the App Store at Google Play and use my promo code HUMBLE to get $5 off or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, you claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Get Upside. You have to like check in at the business. You pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and then you get paid. So in comparison to, you know, a credit card rewards or loyalty program, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Get Upside. So you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card, or Amazon, other brands. It's incredible. GetUpside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So go download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code HUMBLE to get $5 off or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code HUMBLE. Preventative care is in, especially these days. And in order for your body to fight against whatever life throws your way, your immune system has to be at the ready. That's why many people turn to probiotics. They're all the talk these days, but did you know that 99.9% of probiotics on the market die in your naturally harsh stomach acid, even though supposedly special refrigerated probiotics are dead on arrival? But Just Thrive probiotic is different, and here's why. Their proprietary strains are designed by nature to put up an armor-like shell when conditioning gets rough. They withstand extreme temperatures, and they can even be sprinkled into any food or drink. Just Thrive requires no special encapsulation, no refrigeration, nothing. What you get is an all-natural, extensively studied probiotic that's perfect for the whole family. It's effective at controlling stomach issues like gas, constipation, and bloating, and it's vegan, non-GMO, gluten, dairy, soy, and histamine-free. It could even support beautiful skin, better sleep, and easier weight management. For exceptional immune and digestive health, there's nothing like Just Thrive probiotic. Just Thrive products contain more human clinical research than any other product out there, so go check them out and make sure this year you take care of you. Get 15% off their award-winning probiotic when you go to justthrivehealth.com and use code HUMBLE at checkout. The key to consistent good hair days, that's using ingredients that benefit your hair. Function of Beauty makes hair care products that are 100% customizable, made for your hair where it's at now and where you want it to go. Function of Beauty is the world's first fully customizable hair care that creates individual filled shampoos, conditioners, styling, and treatment formula based on your hair now and where you want it to go. Founded by a dream team of engineers and cosmetic scientists, each Function of Beauty product is individually designed to be as unique as you are. Function of Beauty offers over 54 trillion possible formulations. Every one of them is vegan and cruelty-free, and they never use sulfates or parabens. You can also go completely silicone-free. I absolutely love the shampoo, conditioner, and hair mask, and honestly, my scalp has never felt so good, and my hair is finally hydrated and manageable, and honestly, it looks really healthy and it just feels soft, and I just recommend it to everybody. So here's how it works. First, you take a quiz, it's very fast, and you build your hair profile and you select 5 hair goals, like your length, the volume, the oil control. Does your hair get frizzy in the winter but oily in the summer? Function formulations are meant to be changed when your needs change. Next, choose your color and your fragrance, or go dye or fragrance free, totally up to you. Then you get your freshly filled formula delivered straight to your door and prepare for good hair days ahead. Say goodbye to generic hair care for good today. Go to functionofbeauty.com/humble to take your hair goals quiz and you'll save 25% on your first order. Go to functionofbeauty.com/humble to let them know you heard about it from our show and get 25% off your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/humble to take your hair quiz and save 25% on your first order.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
We go back to Piper, and then we do a tour of the estate.
Yes.
And
which at that point, we were pretty much asleep.
Oh, especially because there was a couple videos, because we weren't the only ones there, right? There was some global sales marketing people, but watching videos when we were like falling, standing up.
Julian, my cousin. So we're watching, we're standing, and by the way, we're not even sitting watching, we're standing watching. And all of a sudden, my cousin just starts to choke. And he has to step aside and he's choking and he's like, sorry, guys, I forgot to breathe. He's like,
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired that I literally forgot to breathe. And then, not even 10 minutes later, Riley did the same thing. It was so, or I did, I can't even remember. I mean, it was delirium, like straight delirium. I have never been that exhausted, maybe after Piper, in my entire life.
And we still have to just keep on going.
And we just had to rally. And so I hope we didn't come off rude, but because we're just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think before we would have maybe engaged a little bit more, but you know, we had another day with them. So I feel like we made up for that.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing a tasting after that in the tasting room, which is so beautiful. You guys have to go check out Piper. And we did it with your gal who you've blended with for 4 years now, or four. Yeah.
Yeah. Catherine.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So we've, and she's been with me the entire time. So she's not the chef de cave. She pretty much just runs the day-to-day operations at the estate and the office and making sure all these things are getting done and
right.
The people are getting taken care of. Like she's the true hospitality manager.
She's kind of like
manager.
His right hand though. Yeah. I feel like there's a few right hands there. Yeah.
So the first time I was there, it was a different chef de cave, and that chef de cave,
a chef de cave is basically the winemaker.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
The sovereign was the chef de cave. She didn't speak English. I don't speak French. So Catherine had to explain
and
translate everything.
Oh, wow. But
we still knew enough after enough glasses of champagne, we could kind of communicate without communicating. And then she was there the second time and then now the third time. So then we are doing the tasting with her. And then,
the tasting was awesome. We tasted a bunch of cool, I feel like, bottles now.
Oh, yeah. We tasted some really good stuff.
Yeah.
So we tasted their Essencial that is off the base of what we make.
Which we're going to get into. I sort of want to just like jump a little bit to that because I feel like that's so important.
But then there was the Blanc de Blanc 07, or 04, the 2014. And then that... And then the rosé, and I think that was it that day.
Yeah. All right. So after this, we basically had to run to the hotel and get ready because we had dinner plans with Benoit. Benoit is Riley's dear friend and the basically GM. He's right under the CEO, and he runs Piper. So he's... And he was also the first one that found out that we were having a baby.
Yeah, from my side.
Yeah.
So he was the first person I ever told in the world that I was having a baby.
Yes. And for Riley, that's a big deal. But he's also amazing. We love Benoit. All right. So we were having dinner with Benoit that night. And then my cousin was going to go to this really, really, really bougie ass Michelin star dinner that night.
Michelin 3-star.
3-star. Big deal. What's the name of that? Do you know it? If you can pronounce it.
Les something champenoise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I butchered it.
I know. You're welcome. And this is why just we're gonna post it, and don't worry, it's because I don't know how to pronounce it either. So they were gonna go off and do this like 4-hour experience, and then we were gonna go have dinner. So we had dinner at Gabrielle's, which is the only restaurant that has a straight view to the cathedral, right? To Notre Dame.
Correct.
So there's a Notre Dame in Champaign, and then there's a Notre Dame, obviously, in Paris. But it was so fun. You guys have to go. And make sure you make a reservation. But go later on at night, because that's when it really gets busy. But it was so cool, right?
It was awesome.
Yeah. The food was great. I think you had more fish.
Yes, correct. Right?
I had more of the steaks. I had a little caviar. We also had, you know, good champagne there, but you guys have to go check it out. It's ran by brothers. And so that night, and then we had a little nightcap after that. Just walked around the town a little bit. And then where we stayed was the Eisenhower. Resident Eisenhower, which is where Eisenhower basically signed the end of the war.
In 1941.
Crazy. And we ended up, so there's 12 rooms, and we want to get married there, by the way. That's where I was posting all the photos. It is so incredible. But it's right there in sort of the downtown area. And, the owners of Piper basically acquired it about 4 or 5 years ago, and they started renovating it about 4 years ago. And they have done such a good job at just keeping it so authentic. And they really were able to lift up all like the older floors and or the newer floors and what's the word?
Restore
the old wood. It's just incredible. And each room is different. It's designed differently. It is so beyond special. I can't even they have a wine cellar downstairs. They have like a cigar lounge.
Which was Eisenhower's office.
Which was his office. It's just, they have like the old school elevator.
There's just nothing like it.
No. And they just opened. So they're still like tweaking it, but honestly, it's so incredible. And I think that that's where we want to have our wedding, but I know we want to have it there. We have to just make sure it's not too expensive.
Perfect.
So we check in. It's gorgeous. My cousin's off doing his 4-hour, experience, which he was taking photos of and sending it.
I think we got back at 12 or 12:30 at night.
I think it was closer to 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was late.
It was really late. And we had to be up the next day at
like 8 a.m.
We had to be there like at 9:45.
But we had to be up for breakfast.
Right.
Because breakfast started at
8:30 or 8 or 8:30.
And we didn't get there until 8:30 because we were
at this point, well, sleep is more important than food. And we put ourselves together and we get to Piper, and this is the blending day. This is the only day he has to work, this guy. But it's the most important day. And the experience, I have to say, for me, was so insane. It was so wild. Very cool to see you in your element and everybody really in their element. I have a video though of how quiet the tasting was. I mean, it's like you could hear, you could hear everyone spitting in their, in their little, what is it?
Yeah, just a spit cup.
It's a spit cup. Okay. So will you explain the tasting process?
Well, it's all blind. So there's a base champagne that we're working with, right? And from that, we are blending the dosage that...
Dosage means sugar.
Yes. So it's the... So once they...
Should I explain it?
Yeah, please. So, I mean, because I'm trying to get too technical where it makes sense and then...
I know. You like to geek out. Okay. So during the champagne blending and bottling, there is a point at the end of the champagne bottling that they basically have to allow all the yeast to fall to the, basically to the top of, because it's called riddling. Okay. It's called riddling. And they basically lay the bottle down about, what is this?
It's at an angle where the bottle cap is towards the floor. So it starts horizontal, but then you will end up making it almost to a 45 degree angle towards the ground.
Exactly. So that allows basically for all the yeast to fall towards like the top of the bottle, the neck of the bottle. Okay. Once that happens, they freeze the neck. And that's its own little process, okay? After it freezes, they basically take out that little frozen part that it only happens at the tip of the neck. That allows for, and I'm telling you this in like the fucking lamest terms, okay? Then that piece, that frozen piece basically pops out and there's a little bit of room left in the champagne bottle. The room that's left in that champagne bottle is basically what you add later on in the process with the dosage, with the sugars, right? And that changes the flavors. And
because the sugar then allows for it to get active again, start feeding, and then creates the effervescence and gets to the alcohol content.
It's really what brings the bottle alive.
Yep.
Okay. So what we're doing here is there's basically, so remember, so that now the entire bottle is pretty much full. Now we are just adding just that sort of, depending on the grape and the dosage and whatever.
It's like 2%.
Yeah. Of the bottle.
Of the bottle. But it changes the entirety of the bottle.
Okay. So now we are at the tasting and there are glasses galore on these tables. Okay. So there's the first table. Are you dwindling?
No.
Okay.
No. Just coming back.
Okay. You know? So the first table, there's your base, the base of the champagne, meaning it's basically what's in that bottle, that full bottle. They pour you a little bit and then you have four empty glasses and then you have another glass that basically is the base, but without any sugar. Okay, if that makes sense. So then we're doing this all blind. And then the maitre d' comes and pours blindly four different wines into the glasses. So there's a Pinot Noir, a Chardonnay.
We knew those ones. Ones weren't blind because we knew it was the Chardonnay. Then it was the Pinot Noir. Because these are the bases that then you add the sugar to. So then you can taste them blind.
It was blind to me because I had no fucking idea what I was
doing. You're tasting those ones naked. So then you have, because they don't have the sugar yet added. So you have the Chardonnay and you know what village and what vintage that comes from. You know what Pinot, village, vintage, the Meunier. People call it Pinot Meunier, but in France they've changed that. So it is just Meunier. They've dropped the Pinot. And then there was the Solera. And the Solera is a vintage wine going back to the 60s that this wine, every year they take some out and they put new wine in. They take some out and put new wine in. So
it's constantly.
So just, that one is extremely vibrant because you have newer wines, but then it has roundness and depth like it's been aged in oak, even though it's only touched stainless steel. So then you taste all those. Then you taste the one that is the champagne, the blend without any dosage. So that one is also an extra brut, or brut nature, no sugar added yet.
Okay. I hope we haven't lost you yet. So We are all tasting, and mind you, it's very quiet.
It's just we're in our element.
And it's and all you hear is ding ding. Just everyone's grabbing their glasses, ding ding, and spitting and spitting. And I honestly, I had no idea what I was doing. So I was just following what everyone else was doing. I was just smelling, tasting, spitting a little bit, and then drinking the rest, and going through the process. And then they have these beautiful Piper books to write down notes if you need to and whatnot. So the Chef de Cave is basically talking Riley through all the wines, basically, like you said, the regions where it's coming from, the history behind each one. They're talking about the last two blends that they did together and, you know, what Riley's vision is for this one. So they're sort of just like talking through the entire process. Once Riley chose the wine that he preferred, right? Tell me if I'm wrong. Then we went to... Or no, not it wasn't really what you preferred. Did you pick one at that point? You did, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we went to...
But it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. No, it does not at all. And then we go to the next table. Now, the next table has a lot more glasses. So now you brought basically the base with the dosage or the naked one. No.
So then at that, they have... A1, A2, B1.
No, I know, but we walked over with the glass.
The glass was what?
Was the Emilien's... was the base or was it the naked one?
It was his complete one that he added, because his that we added to get our palate started was, because he no, makes his own, but it's not naked. It has, it he added one. Solera to it.
What I'm saying though.
The very first one.
Oh, that's all I was asking you, dear. So it's the first one that we brought over to the table. Okay. So we bring that over. You just got to like tell the people how it, I just simplified. So we bring it over to the table, the main base, okay, with the sugar in it. And then when we sat there, right, then we have the A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, C2, D1, D2. Okay. So there's 8 glasses on the table. Now you can explain those.
So those are either Chardonnay, 3 grams or 6 grams of added sugar, or Pinot Noir with 3 and 6, Meunier with 3 and 6, and then the Solera with 3 and 6. So we tasted the bases already, but now there's sugar now added to it.
Exactly.
And then at this
point...
And now
this one is blind.
We're blind tasting. We're tasting. This is like a 45-minute ordeal of just tasting, going back and forth, reassessing, going back and forth, and then everybody at the tables picking their own at the end of it.
So everyone has a piece of paper.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the chef de cave is, I mean, writing in detail. The guy's writing like notes. Okay. And
he's doing a novel over there.
He really is. And Riley doesn't write a damn thing. Like he literally didn't even touch pen to paper. I think maybe one. You wrote like one or two things. And me being the, you know, articulate individual that I am, I'm over here writing, no, yes, light, sour. Like, I just have no words to be able to describe. And normally I'm not terrible with this kind of stuff, but for some reason it just wasn't clicking. Like I don't, and some people are like, I taste peach notes and I taste, you know, this note and that note. And I'm like,
toasted almond versus grilled almond versus raw almond versus.
Yeah. And I'm like, this shit is all tasting the same to me after a while. Anyway. So finally, he goes around, he's asking everyone what they think, what they like. Ultimately, it's Riley's decision. Riley picks 4 wines, so or 4 blends. So out of the 4, we do another tasting again, and everyone writes down what they think.
We take those 4, we step out, so then the maitre d' can come back over to refill them up, change the labels, and he's the only one that knows. Nobody else knows in the room. Then we step out, and then we go back in for round 2 of the blind tasting.
Yes. And so then we sit, we taste the 4, and then from the 4, you basically pick 2 of your top contenders. And I will say it was interesting because everyone, I think, no one really agreed on the first round. There were a few.
Nobody agreed with me on the first
round. No one agreed with Riley on the first round. And then on the second round, I feel like more people agreed on the second round. And then once we had the final two, then you go into the
lunch.
And the chef basically prepares a whole lunch to be able to taste with these champagnes, which was really, really special. So we go sit down and the maitre d' comes again blindly and pours both glasses so that we can basically have lunch with each course and talk about it and say how we think it, you know, it pairs with food and with, you know, like lighter courses and seafood versus, you know, steaks and whatnot. And again, the chef de cave is basically there just to help Riley, and sort of talk through things, not to pick it. So it's really Riley's decision at the end of the day on what is best for his restaurant and for what he wants, you know, for the hotel. And remember, you can only get this at Lido House. There's your plug, babe.
Thanks.
So we have this incredible lunch. We're all tasting. And I think that there was just one that was a very, very clear winner, right?
Correct.
So everyone pretty much was like, oh yeah, it's number two or whatever. The left one. It was just the left one. Everyone cheers. And it was so exciting that, you know, finally it was done. He's the first guy to ever, well, he's the first person to ever blend three times even, right? And he's the first to do a lot of things with them. But it was honestly an honor and it was so incredible. I learned so much throughout that process. And that will be ready in 9 months from now.
Yeah.
So make sure to keep an eye out for that to try out. And I feel like it'd be fun to do a tasting between your first blend, your second blend, and your third blend.
Well, we don't have enough of the first one because we have the last like 12 bottles in the world.
I know.
Because the distributors at the beginning, it was such a new program. They didn't have their stuff together. So they were sending us both. We didn't know which cases, which what, and from version one and version two. So it just kind of ran out one day. And it was, thank goodness that we saved some, but not enough, not as much as I would like, because I would like to save it for the hotel, like 10 cases. So, so then now version two, we will have enough of that. We're going to reserve some of that. And then this, so then we'll be able to do it only between, but we were talking about, like, I want to do some sort of launch party or even a private tasting or something at Lido House.
I think we need to do something though with my friends here at Humble and Hungry.
Oh.
Do you like that idea?
I love that idea.
Like maybe we do something with like 12 of us, right? You, me, and then maybe 10 other people from these listeners. And maybe we do like a special like tasting and we can bring out, you know, the bottles of Piper and have them taste it and make it super special at Lido House or wherever you guys are.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like that could be really cool on top of the summer soirees and all the other things we want to do.
Perfect.
Okay. So just to wrap up REMS, and then I feel like we're going to have to touch Paris in part two because there's so much in Paris that we haven't even touched. But basically to wrap up REMS, we ended up having another tasting that day after we were done with all the tastings and the blending and all of that. We ended up meeting with Julien afterwards and Z, and then we went to
Henri Girard.
Yes. Which that's where he was talking about how the landscape basically is on a slope. And that's where they actually didn't have as terrible of a 2021 as other regions in Champagne. But that wine, if you have not, or that champagne, if you have not tasted it, you need to go taste it. Like that is something that once it hits your palate, you can actually taste the difference between them and other champagnes.
So, and it's because
it's
they use oak,
right?
And they use
in barrels, right?
Yeah. So they use oak barrels and from the Argonne Valley or the Argonne Forest, where they actually select their own trees, which is very unique versus most like champagne houses are 100% stainless steel.
Right, exactly. And so it's just silky and delicious. Oh my gosh, I think that one made Riley cry. Remember, when Riley drinks or eats something really, really special, you'll just see one little tear come out of his eye. And this one, I think, brought a tear to your eye. I think it brought a tear to all of our eyes, to be honest with you.
It
was amazing. All right. And then to wrap it up, that night we ended up going out. We sort of hit the Ron's town.
Ooh, that was a rough night too.
That was a rough night. It was hilarious because we got denied everywhere we went. It was either too busy or they just ignored us or it was.
And we were so tired. We were in a rush. We just needed water. We just needed some more champagne. We just needed some food in our system.
We needed food.
Everywhere was just taking their sweet old time getting to us as they would, but we were
hungry.
Yes.
This is the only night that Riley and I got in a fight.
Which is pretty impressive. That was the whole week.
It was. Yeah, I know. But I mean, by a fight, it was just very, very annoyed. He was hungry. I was delirious. And
she wouldn't let me eat.
I didn't want to eat there, but no one else did either except for Riley.
Because it was the only food. I'm really good at knowing where and when and what hours places may shut down.
He was you guys, everything is going to be closed after we leave here. And I'm like, there's no way. We're in France. There's no way. And then sure enough, we walk out and shit is just closing left and right. And we were like, uh-oh. And so at this point, Riley and I, we're not speaking to each other. And so I was like, shit, he's always right. So we found this cool little dive bar. Right? With a lot of older people, and they had a live DJ. They had a DJ.
But spinning vinyl, super cool.
It was so cool. And everyone in there was just eccentric. That's the only word I can use, eccentric. And so we're sitting there and we're all starving. I mean like starving, that we're just trying to drink our way through the carbs and the sugar and whatever to fill ourselves up. And finally I was like, fuck it. I'm going to try to Uber something. And you guys, I got us pizzas. Delivered on a bike in this rad little dive bar. And
she snuck the pizza in and I was
you were slanging those slices, baby.
I was like a drug dealer, just slanging pizza though.
But honestly, we laughed so much the entire day. Honestly, the entire trip. We had such a good time. There is so much more. I promise you that the Paris part is much less science-y and nerdy as Rems, but Rons. But we will get to it next week, I promise. And hopefully we'll have a little bit more energy for part two. But I love you guys. I love you.
I love you, baby. Thank you for being there.
Of course. It was an honor.
Pretty amazing.
It was really, really cool. That was really incredible. And I can't wait to do bottle number four if we're ever asked back.
Let's cross our fingers.
Yeah. Anyhow, all right. I love you guys so much. And I will see you all next week. Remember, stay humble and stay hungry.